Good morning. Today is Monday, June 23rd, 2008. My name is Allison Page. I'm with the UW Oral History Program. And this morning I will be interviewing Dwayne Zinkel from the U.S. Forest Products Lab. Mr. Zinkel, if you want to start maybe by giving us a brief history of where and when you were born and some of that early background information.
Well, let's see, I was born in 1934 in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. That's about it for the early history. I'm a graduate of the university in chemistry course, and I have my PhD from biochemistry from the university.
The university here, then?
Here, yes.
Okay. What years were those?
1956 and 1961.
Well, was there anything that was part of your education background that kind of prepared you for work at the Forest Products Lab? Did you have an early interest in wood science?
No, I didn't. Actually, between my undergraduate and graduate years, I was looking for a short-term employment while I was taking a couple courses, and this was an obvious place to check into, and actually I worked for about a year part-time at that, in 1956-57.
How did you hear about the Forest Products Lab?
I just had a very vague knowledge about it.
Mm-hmm.
So there was nothing very specific.
Mm-hmm. So when you were looking for employment here, was that something, did you just check into the lab to see if they had an opening, or did you hear about it from somebody?
No, I just checked in to see what they had available at the time.
Okay.
And I worked on a project in the old garage buildings on the north side of the laboratory. There was a steered fermentation to make glycerol by taking bisulfite to complex intermediate, and it's called a steered fermentation. It was an army funded thing, and so we had huge for our size. Fermenters with yeast, and I would do the weekend things. That's what I did,
mm-hmm.
and some minor chemical things.
So was that one of your first projects, or?
Well, that was my first project here. It was.
What year was that again?
It was 56, 57.
Okay. Do you have any vivid memories or impressions of the lab when you first started working, maybe the first couple days or the first year or so?
Well, as I say, I was working part-time and mostly on weekends, so nobody else was really here much of the time, although I was occasionally here during the week. But I didn't really travel around the laboratory very much at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
I have recollections of the people I worked with and such.
Yeah, if you might be interested in sharing some of those, that would be great.
Well, let's see. George Heine was the project leader at the time. People that were at least in it during that time: George Blodgett, Hank Grimes, Clark was in it for a short time. I think that was pretty much it. There were a couple other people too that were sort of on the periphery of it.
Well, what division did you start off in?
That was in wood chemistry. And then after my graduate work, of course, I was familiar with the laboratory to a certain degree, and I looked into the possibilities. I had several other options, but I just checked to see what was here, and the program in wood extractives sounded very interesting to me, and so I took the position.
So was that your primary reason for seeking employment here? Was it just the division or the projects that were available, or was there something else that was of particular interest about the lab?
Are you talking about in 56 or 61?
Well, 56.
Well, 56, I was looking for employment to earn some funds while I was just beginning my graduate school work. Mm-hmm. And so that was no other reasons beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Could you maybe describe what was a day like as being both an employee at the lab and a graduate student with the university?
Well, it was all together, obviously. As I said, I worked on the weekends, so we had certain things. We had to centrifuge the yeast from the fermentation liquors and recharge the system again, and make the sugar solutions that fed the fermentation vats, and so it was just sort of labor sort of thing, mm-hmm. but I knew what I was doing, so. And then did chemical analyses occasionally. A graduate student, it's typical graduate student coursework and such. That was the reason I was working part-time, because I wanted to take a couple courses first before I got really going into the graduate work. I hadn't picked out a major professor yet, and mm-hmm. so.
And how long did your graduate student work go until?
Well, I started that same summer in 56 with some coursework, and let's see. Oh my goodness. It was in 57 at some point that I obtained a fellowship in biochemistry. Boy, I really can't remember when exactly that was.
Mm-hmm. So did you start working more as you finished your school work? Did you work more than just weekends?
No, that was pretty much, I would work an extra day or so during the week, and I don't remember. It was a part-time position. It was probably something like half-time, mm-hmm. that I remember. I don't remember the details anymore.
Mm-hmm. Could you maybe describe a typical day of work here?
Well, as I said, it wasn't really it wasn't a typical type job. It was I was filling in for people because the fermentation was around the clock sort of thing, and I was taking care of the weekends, so the staff didn't have to come in on the weekends, and so I did those kind of things, and can't say this was a typical day meant everything went smoothly. So
was that your primary project, that first one?
That was my only project.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. So did you do most of your work here at the lab, or did you travel elsewhere? No.
While I was working here?
Yeah.
No, the fermentation system was on the laboratory grounds.
Now we have you, the list that we got from the library said that you worked in naval stores.
Well, that was when that's when I became full staff, and that was in 61,
okay,
after I obtained my PhD. And that's the area that I got into. The as I said, Jack Rowe was the project leader at the time, and outlined a very interesting sounding program in wood extractives, which I had absolutely no background in at all, but it sounded very good to me, and so I took it. And then naval stores became my specialty, the chemistry of pine wood, not really their extractives, but their pine oleoresins and such.
So can you maybe describe some of that type of work?
Well, most of my career I was involved in analytical development, analysis, and structure determination. Worked closely with the Pulp Chemicals Association. They oversaw our work. They contributed some money, but not a lot. And at that time, it wasn't very common to have a lot of outside money. And that when I started, the lab was actually expanding at the time. They were creating new positions, and that's what when I came on as in a new position. Let's see. Well, we did, as you said, we did a lot of work on structural determinations in the diterpene resin acid area. Did a lot of work on standardized spectra, and obtained standardized spectra, and published an in-house publication that had the actual spectra. Did quite a bit of work on isolation of new unknown resin acids. Most of those, though, were sort of a peripheral sort of thing. We were taking a look at the three resin systems in a pine tree that are not interconnecting. There's the cortical oleoresin, the needle oleoresin, and the xylem oleoresin. And I was curious about the other resin systems that hadn't been looked at. It was pretty common to look, of course, at the xylem oleoresins, because that's where the naval stores were coming from. And we did that. But we were curious about the cortical and needles, and we found that those were completely different. And so we isolated new compounds, as since they were different, and did structural determinations and published on that.
And who did you work with on that? Did you work solely within a department, or did you work with other departments as well?
Well, I was in wood chemistry, I mean, almost the entire time. And Jack Rowe was my project leader until he retired. And we had various other people that were working with me and under me. But generally, it was just one person.
Mm-hmm. And did that require any kind of travel with that?
Well, we traveled with the Pulp Chemicals Association. We had meetings here every year, and then one to two meetings. I traveled mostly to the southeast.
Mm-hmm. Was there any particular travel event that is particularly memorable or interesting?
Well, I can just vaguely remember two of them. One of them was with the Pulp Chemicals Association, and it has nothing to do with science, but I went to a meeting in New Orleans, and one of the evening meals we went to were Kareen Dunbar's restaurant, and it was extremely fine. Mm-hmm. And the other time was a meeting I attended in Las Vegas, and the hotel that we were meeting at, Caesar's Palace, was full. Of course, my name begins with Z, so they did this alphabetically. I was at the end of the list and was out. So we picked a motel that was close by, we thought was close by based on the number of the hotel motel, and it turned out it was a little better than a mile away. And so I walked back and forth to the meeting, but there was a constant wind off of the mountains, and I ended up with two earaches, one on each, walking from each way.
Was there just that one project that you worked on throughout your career, or were there many, many projects that you worked on?
Well, if you consider the project was an area of research, that was I worked on one area for the entire time I was here. And but project names and things changed, but that was mostly paperwork, really.
Was there one aspect of your job that you found particularly satisfying, and conversely, was there a part of it that was particularly challenging or frustrating?
Well, the structural determination, isolation of new compounds, and that was always interesting. From the time I came here to the time I left, I better than doubled the number of resin acids that were known. And I think the one that stands out the most is we found a resin acid in the cortical and needle oleo resins of eastern white pine, which was quite different, having a seven-membered C-ring, and it was an interesting little project.
I know that you mentioned a couple people that you worked with throughout your career here. Were there other colleagues in particular that you have strong memories of, or that you worked with quite closely and continue to know very well?
Well, I mean, those aren't mutually exclusive kind of things. Did a project with Cookie Kukachka on volatile fatty acids in various hardwoods, and so I got to know Cookie well, and Jim Ward was involved in it, and I got to know Jim quite well, although we only worked on a couple things together.
Mm-hmm. I've heard Mr. Kukachka described a little bit before by somebody else, and I believe he said that he was quite a character. Was he very interesting to you?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I don't really know how to characterize him beyond he was quite a character. Mm-hmm. It was a very nice fellow.
Mm-hmm. Were there any opportunities to socialize among staff here, or was it just primarily through your relationships as divisions?
Well, we had our Christmas when divisions were a little bigger. They've been sort of compacted now. When they were bigger, then they were more separate. And we used to have our Christmas party, and then we had the Employees Association, which we had our couple picnics and such during the year. And mm-hmm. And those were always nice events to get to meet people from outside of the area. When I started here in 61, we didn't have the only outlying buildings were a couple small ones where we did the fermentations and those buildings down there. And we didn't have the big building 34 at the time, 34 and 33. And so we were located here, and I was on the third floor, and that's where our facilities were. But it wasn't too long after that they built the new buildings, and we were very happy to take those over.
I heard that there used to be a men's club with the lab. Were you associated with that, or?
Well, I was a member of it. Yeah, That's what I meant by the employees group.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't. It was the men and the women were separate. They both had their own organizations. And I think that was a hangover, certainly from World War II and such. Mm-hmm.
Well, if we want to maybe switch gears, I have a couple questions about the U.S. Forest Service, and I was wondering how you felt about working for an agency that was part of the U.S. Forest Service. Did that have any effect on you?
No, I can't say that it particularly did one way or the other. It was, I mean, that was part of the package. I mean, I didn't have any real strong feeling one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Did your impressions of the Forest Service ever change over time? I know you said you sort of felt a little bit indifferent when you started. Did you develop any feelings towards the Forest Service, or?
No, I wasn't involved that much in field activities. The closest I got to was obtaining some samples in the southeast and working with Forest Service people down there. But I can't say as that changed particularly.
Mm-hmm.
At one time, they had a naval stores laboratory at Olustee, Florida, a research laboratory. And they must have gone out of existence in late 60s, something like that, or early 70s, and they closed down. And then, let's see, I'm just trying to think, it was physically next door. Well, it was nearby. They had a... there was a Forest Service unit that did a lot of the forestry-related things to naval stores, because there were other programs in developing techniques to obtain more what they called gum oleoresin, where they just wound the tree and collect the oleoresin. I didn't know those people as well. I got to know a few more of them later. My area was looking at naval stores that they were obtained in from the tree, but by pulping procedures,
mm-hmm.
and so that was our focus.
Mm-hmm.
Although we were involved in the chemistry of any of it.
So was any of the research that you did over your time here, was that applied in some way?
Well, we were supposed to develop the fundamental knowledge for industry to be able to make improvements. Now, you can't say if there's a big pulping process that they developed any kind of a methodology and such. That could come out, but sometimes it's a matter of them understanding more why they were having losses of material and where they were going, what sort of changes were taking place.
Mm-hmm.
So we looked at those aspects of it more than
Did you ever get a chance to work closely with people from the industry, or not so much? Where was it more internal work here?
Well, I visited various laboratories, and became quite friendly with a number of the people. Can't say there was as much feedback. We were tending to feed everything we knew because that was our job, but we weren't getting a great deal of feedback the other direction. I was getting more of it from working with the individual scientists on analytical procedures and better interaction on that level. Mm-hmm. And you know, that was, I would say that was probably where it went.
So was this lack of communication, was that kind of frustrating, or?
Sometimes it was. I recall when I first started, when we were trying to get off the ground, because there had not been any research going on here in naval stores for quite some years. You may know that the early years was pretty much under Eloise Gary, who did a lot of field work on improved methods of gum collection and such. And so there hadn't been much work here, and there wasn't any body of knowledge outside of searching the literature. And that's not necessarily always that good as far as getting onto the ground. So I did contact specifically Hercules, because they had the biggest program, and they were in wood naval stores, that's collecting the old stumps from the old virgin stumps from the forest, and where the sapwood had rotted away, and they would grind those up and have huge extractors and extract it. They had that as part of their industry, and they were also purchasing tall oil from the pulping process and processing that. So they had a vested interest, and I contacted them, and we didn't get very good feedback from them. Not only cooperation, but criticism for having contacted them and all sorts of things. It's a very sort of unpleasant starting, what it was. But we got past it.
Well, I have a couple questions about FPL in general. What was kind of the relationship between the employees and the administration here? Is that ever...
In what way?
How did general employees relate to administration here within the lab on a day-to-day basis? And was that ever a challenge, or?
Well, FPL has always been a very top-down organization. I was thinking of, I'll probably not say much about that. Yeah, I think maybe we ought to pass that by. Well, I think that it shows up perhaps in, I think, an underappreciation of retired senior staff. And I think this goes throughout the laboratory. There's always been a great reluctance to use people when they've retired for the knowledge that they've built up over all these years. They seem to, once retirement came about, that was it. And there wasn't much done. I've heard this from many people about this. So.
Okay. I know that you you did a lot of your education here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison here. Could you maybe say a little bit about the relationship between the Forest Products Lab and the university, if you noticed any kind of significant relationship?
Well, at that time, I wasn't really aware of anything. And since I knew that the old laboratory was down on University Avenue, but didn't know much about that. And I guess those are, you know, pretty much standard thing that the laboratory was first put together with the university, and it was on campus. And in fact, the first experiments that anyone did were in the area of naval stores in the old power plant, and that's where they had facilities. And then I wasn't that familiar with it when I mentioned Eloise Gary when she was here in 26. Then they would have been on University Avenue at that time. And but I've been aware there's certainly been a lot more interaction in the last 25 years or so than there was perhaps in the very beginning, but then as it approached World War II, I don't know what the interactions were with faculty at that particular point.
Have you noticed any kind of general perceptions of the lab by other employees or the public in general here in Madison, how they feel about the Forest Products Lab?
I think people have always had a very favorable impression. I mean, it's part of the economic scene of the city, but it's not looking like a university or on the scope of it. But people seem to be very favorable for it. They remember little things such as the Kohler work on the in the Lindbergh trial and various little things like that. That would be more. But outside of that, I think people have a pretty positive.
Well, maybe we could switch gears a little bit and talk about your later career here. When did you retire and why did you decide to retire from Forest Products Lab?
Well, I retired in 92, continued on for another 6 months after I was theoretically retired, cleaned up a few odds and ends that I wanted to. Well, I guess I just thought it was about time that I did that, and can't say anything more. I don't know anything about what to say besides that.
Have you maintained any kind of relationship with the lab since you've left, or not really?
Not particularly with the laboratory. There've been a bunch of people that I know here that I would. Certainly in the early years after I retired, there were more people here, and it's been dwindling since. That I've kept up more personal relationships.
Well, looking back now, how do you feel about your career here at the lab?
Well, it was actually a very satisfying thing. It was partly the times. I came on in 61, and we were in an expanding, the laboratory was expanding, the staff was expanding, ideas were flying around, and things Well, I stayed that way for, let's say, 20 years. Mm-hmm. And then after that, things, first funds got tight, government funds in general got tight, and then the laboratory, Forest Service, the whole business took place. And I was probably closer into the, probably around 1990 or something, about that period of time. There was more effort, emphasis on obtaining one's own funds for operations. And I guess that was something I was not familiar with doing. We weren't in the university. We have a university near us, but we weren't in that university fight of getting funds. We didn't have to do that. And that detracted from the research, as it always does. And then later on, it got worse. And that was probably another drive, saying that, hey, my time has been, and I've enjoyed it, and I really don't have to do this. So. Mm-hmm.
What was kind of the reaction from other employees because of the budget crunch? Was there any hurt feelings towards that, or resentment, or did people just take it in stride?
Well, it's a fact. It isn't something that one can get hurt about. But those were the times, and the times were changing,
Do you feel that your work here at the lab has made a mark or an impact either on the Forest Service in general, or research, or the lab itself?
Well, I guess I'd like to think that I made a contribution in the chemistry in this area. I have no grandiose ideas about what it did as far as... great furtherance of great ideas. I don't think it did that. So,
that's most of the rest of my questions. Do you have any other stories, memories, or comments that you would like to record for posterity? Interesting characters that you've met along the way, or?
Well, there have been a lot of great people that I've met here, and some I got to know more closely than others. And I suppose my memory these days isn't all that good. It needs a little prick to get something going. But I can't think of anything that's outstanding beyond what I mentioned. I don't have a whole war chest of old stories all lined up for me.
Okay.